It's 6 o'clock, so I guess we'll call the Historic Preservation Committee meeting for Thursday, July 31st, 2014, to order. We'll have a roll call first. Copperwood?
Here.
Atkins?
Excused, right?
He's excused. Fredericks?
Here.
Metzler?
Here.
Fasco?
Here.
Roth is here. We have a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
Good one. The next item on the agenda is to modify or adopt or accept our agenda for this evening. Are there any changes or modifications?
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
I second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries. Item number three, approved minutes from May 28th, 2014.
Motion.
Are you making a motion?
Yeah. Motion to approve.
I second it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries for the May 28th minutes. We need to approve item number four on June 25th. We need to do that. And I have one change to that. Steve Metzler was not present because he didn't get the notification. And so we should change that from an absent. And I would propose we change the absent. Maybe sounds like, well, he just didn't show. But he didn't show because he didn't get the notification. So I would suggest we change that status to excused. It's the best we can do, Steve. Any other suggestions, modifications? Otherwise, I guess we can entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? That motion carries. Item number five, announcements. Update on National Register nomination grant from Trevor.
I received a signed copy of our contract that we have been working with over the past 2 months now from Jennifer today. So Steve, David Noggin, and Debbie, your clerk, will sign in and we'll be good to go.
Any questions from committee for Trevor? Any other announcements?
Last month I reported that there was a moratorium on the historic tax credits, and that's now been lifted as of about 2 weeks ago. Just for the record.
Should we discuss whether that applies to or do we need to discuss whether that applies to the items on our proposed list? I mean, maybe I didn't read it the right way, but what I read was it was lifted for certain commercial structures. And so I don't know if that applies to anything that we have on our list of, I don't know. Does anybody have an opinion, or should we assume that it's been lifted, or
is it would potentially apply to the two municipal buildings once we get through this granting period, but yeah. Not for right now. But it wouldn't.
Yeah, it wouldn't apply to any of the 13 residences or to the proposed historic districts because they're not commercial. So. maybe
it also doesn't apply to the pre-1931 commercial buildings in our village. So that moratorium is not lifted. So it's only partial.
Thanks. Any other announcements? I had a couple, unless someone else wants to go next. I just wanted to thank Trevor for working hard to get us all here tonight. We had a change in the schedule because Barb and I are both on this, what is it called, the roadway configuration
stakeholders
meeting for the Riverside Drive Highway 57 rework, and that kind of, you know, we kind of had to go there. And so Trevor did a good job of keeping after everybody to make sure we were all on the same page in terms of when we could get together. We didn't want to have another meeting where we were not with the quorum. So again, thanks for all your note taking for the minutes too, because we had some long winded discussions and you got it done and it made sense. I don't know if that's good or not. It made sense. Thank you. Just a point of interest. The village got a call, and it ended up with me, from someone who wanted to inquire about the Alloway school that was on the site now where the CVS pharmacy is. And I don't know. I had a couple of conversations with her and an email, and she thanked me for the information. She just said she was a writer and was looking for a little background information. So I don't know beyond that, but I didn't have a chance to talk back with her to find out specifically what she wanted information for. But Barb was helpful because I said, help, I don't know who the best person is to contact. So Barb suggested that we put her in touch with
Rita
Houston, and that must have worked because she didn't come back with any more questions, and so I think that was good, you know. And I gave her a couple other pieces of information. The Neville Public Museum has a collections group, archives, and they have a collections manager, and the local history and genealogy department of the Brown County Library, that's Mary Jane Herber again, who is there on the second floor, and they have a lot of information. And for the school, anything relating to the schools, you might find something. My brother-in-law is a retired school administrator and teacher, said the Green Bay Public School District on 200 on North Broadway probably would have information if you went and talked to them personally, explain what you wanted. So I passed that on to her also, and for us, if we need to be doing any research. So I just thought that was interesting that somebody called. There was also a picture of the was it the football team, Alloway from 1934, that was in the Press Gazette. They're looking for information on some of the faces in that photograph that they don't have names for. And that was submitted by the Historic Alloway Society. So, just information. The other thing, I was going to mention the tax credit, but we talked about that. The only other announcement I had, or thing I wanted to mention, was that in order for us to really get the most out of our time in these meetings, I think we need to maintain a little more structured format. So we are going to try and follow Robert's rules a little more closely. And we have a public appearances item on our agenda, and so that's what that's for. But again, we want to make sure that we stay focused on the topics that we're discussing, which are those that are on the agenda. And so if anybody has any questions about that, or as we go forward, since it's been kind of casual the last couple of meetings. I've only been at like three meetings, I think. So if anybody has any questions about how we're, whether that's working or not, or if they have suggestions, like, don't hold back. But so, anybody else have anything to say before we move on? Okay, the next item is public appearances. Do we have anybody out there that wants to speak?
Yes.
Jim Malloy, 2359 Oakwood Avenue. I was on the
survey.
Excuse me, could you make sure it's on and have
we hear? Okay.
I was having trouble hearing.
There we go. Jimmer Rock, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I was on the original ad hoc team with the Historic Galloway Society and the Historic Preservation Committee on the intensive survey. So I'm familiar with the intensive survey. And I'm also interested in the Riverside Drive project. I've been in contact with the village and with Steve and Debbie, and I just asked them to forward an email to you, Howard. And what I'd like to do is read that into the record now. Dear Galloway Historic Preservation Committee Chairman, FPU, this is an open records request for village-owned field notes from the 2012-2013 Historic and Architectural Survey relating to properties adjacent to the State Highway 57 Riverside Drive corridor. The village should already have the field notes in the HBC archives. You don't have any archives, but you're required to have them. Of most interest to our group are documents related to the sacred stretch of Riverside Drive, which would be from St. Joseph Street to Highway 172. The Sunset Park Historic District is also of great interest to our group. Number two, the 2014 Section 106 review of Highway 57 is requested. This is also an open records request for a copy of the Section 106 review that is part of the State Highway 57 Riverside Drive Reconstruction Project. The State DOT and the State Historic Preservation Office already have copies of the report that was prepared by Mead and Hunt. The village staff should already have a copy of the Section 106 review documents in their files. The Section 106 review was referenced at last week's public stakeholder meeting, and that review that regards historic and culturally important properties. Number three, the Riverside Drive should be safe, sacred, and beautiful. We're not engineers, but we'd like to help make State Highway 57, Riverside Drive, and Galloway a safe and beautiful riverfront highway. This sacred stretch of public highway has great beauty and historic significance. It's the oldest public highway in the region from Lake Michigan to the Pacific Ocean, and it was the cradle of American commerce and justice in Wisconsin. Stakeholder solution. We'd like to give the adjacent property owners and village residents / stakeholders as much time as possible to review the various options that are currently on the table. The adjacent property owners and other village stakeholders would like to help develop a superior solution for this underappreciated section of historic Galloway Public Highway. Thank you in advance for gathering the documents on the sacred stretch of Riverside Drive for the village stakeholders. Electronic copies of the reports can be sent to me via email at my email address, askforjim@aol.com. All of these documents should already be in the village HBC archives. And I have a copy for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. I know we had a meeting scheduled.
Thank you.
To be scheduled in August, and then I think their agenda or their time frame called for public hearings in September. So there'll be opportunities between now and then to deal with this. Thank you. Anybody else out there?
Nobody else here.
Nobody. Hearing none, we'll move on to old business. Item number 7, discussion of when to start raising awareness for the potential historic districts and individual properties in the village. Do we have a format for how to begin that dialogue or discussion? Trevor, do you have anything to start us off with? Or do any of the committee members have a starting point? Seems like we're thinking about, well, Trevor, go ahead. You're reaching for the mic. I'll let you go first.
Well, I was just going to say that I think we wanted to continue the dialogue from the last meeting. We didn't have enough to make a forum, so I think we wanted everyone's input as far as when to start. We want to have the public information meeting. It was discussed at the last meeting that it was important to gather public input as far as picking the district or the residents to move forward on, rather than
So one of the questions, or one of the discussion points, if I remember right, was, are we going to try and push for something really quickly so we can get that grant put together by the timeline that we have in front of us, which is, I think, probably, in my opinion, maybe a little too aggressive to do it properly. We want to have everybody who's associated with these properties have a chance to learn about them and their participation in the process. And I think we had to have something put together in September sometime.
The letter of intent would be due September 12th.
Yeah, and then the following month, or the
November 14th, the final application.
November, yeah. And it seems like we were thinking about, well, we want to build some awareness, so we're going to get like one of those save the date or hold the date open kind of pieces of information, a postcard or a flyer or something out to all the affected property owners. And then maybe in September we'd have a public hearing. And I think that the person from the state, Mark Buschel, is that
Buechel?
I knew I was going to get that wrong. Would be, I think, was able to. Did I get that right? Did I see that he was going to be able to come?
Or Joe DeRose. If the questions are about the tax credits, Mark would be the one with the answer.
I'm kind of thinking, I don't know, a lot of people might be looking for an incentive, like what's in it for me and the tax credit, and I don't know that we have I certainly don't have the wherewithal to explain the tax credits. You know, after reading a few versions of them on the internet, I was more confused than I was before. And it was Joe DeRose, who had offered with one of his associates to come here in September, was available in September, so a proposed timeline might be to get something out, you know, advising what we're trying to do and letting everybody know that we want to hold a meeting in September, a public hearing. Let's take advantage of that opportunity to have these folks come and answer questions that we might not be able to. So that's just what I remember. Does anybody else have any thoughts or suggestions?
That would be a good place to start. Maybe we could get a date set in September so that way we can put that date on the card and try and get that over the next couple of weeks.
We have it at our regular meeting towards the latter half of September. People will be back on their schedules from the kids with school.
Yeah, so if we schedule that for the fourth Wednesday in September, for example.
So we'll miss the letter of intent deadline. And then we won't be able to apply again until next September.
I don't know, I'm just a little long, and
we can lose steam.
Could we do something between September and, I don't know, what is the committee? I mean, you all know more than I do about the mechanics of how these things work. Can we get a letter of intent together by September, the date in September? And if so, can we, after having a public hearing, put together a proposal by the November date?
Do we need the estimates for the letter of intent? Mm-hmm. So we have to know which one by then. Mm-hmm. There are some big ones that I would think would vary on cost.
Right.
I would think those...
I would think my opinion would be, if we're going to try and get in this granting season, the meeting would have to be in late August. Because then if there's any follow-up questions, there's still a couple weeks that we could get answers for people.
That also hopefully give us the input we needed to decide on what district to pursue, and give us enough time to put an RFP together and get it out the door and back in.
Late August is also a popular vacation time. The last weeks before school starts.
Yeah, so if we were the fourth Wednesday or any other time during that. Yeah. So.
So that works against us a little bit. You'd be hitting some people, but not all of them.
Yeah.
Would we want the buy-in before we would submit the letter of intent that we would know that people would be interested? Because we have to make sure we get at least, is it 40% buy-in or 40% buyout? I don't know which number we needed, 40% or 60%?
51% to be okay with it.
51?
My personal opinion, it's pushing it.
That's what I think too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the objective is for us to have a successful activity here, a successful project, and what we don't want to have, kind of agreeing with you also, what I wouldn't want to have happen is have some people not present because of personal schedules and vacations and things, and then to be, you know, rightfully so, maybe upset because the process moved forward without their opportunity to participate. So I'm kind of in favor of taking a longer timeline, but yet not wait until next spring to do it. I'd like to do it in September.
Maybe. And you're waiting a year before you can apply for these people.
I thought there was a time. I thought there was an opportunity in the spring. No. Okay.
That's what I was recommending. We have a public hearing.
Okay.
So we have the summer to answer questions, have follow-up meetings.
Do you think we should wait until a little later then, so there isn't such a big gap between the time?
Potential too. If you wait too much longer in the summer, I don't know that you're going to get everybody either.
Well, we could have maybe a couple of different meetings, or at least, you know, because if we aren't going to be able to get everybody at one, maybe if we had Joe come to one and then Mark come to another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we sent cards out and we had a meeting in September and then we don't do anything all winter long, then the momentum is maybe lost. And some of these properties, you know, I don't know how many of them will change hands ownership during that time. But again, yeah, so.
There's pros and cons for both, so.
Yeah.
I think we just need to pick a direction and go in it.
We could maybe talk to Joe and see if they have something for municipalities to mail out as kind of like an informational thing to help build up to the actual meeting. Maybe they have some kind of a flyer available that we do that 4 months before the meeting, and then, you know, maybe they have like a timeline that has proven to work the best.
I think that makes sense, because again, we want to make sure that as many people as possible are here, and as many questions are answered that as can be answered.
When is the deadline, Trevor, for articles for the all-around alleyway? That we usually get that, I think, in the middle of December, isn't it? That would go out to all the residents in the village, just something informational about this?
I'm not sure that I can do that.
Maybe an article in there would help, too?
One thing I think Bobby mentioned last time was save the date. And then the question was brought up that if we had money as committee, I'd look into that and do so. Let's be careful.
So what's our... what are our thoughts now as far as are we going to try and do something this fall, or are we going to wait till early winter and then work in through the spring with public hearings?
That would be my vote on it.
We're kind of talking ourselves out of, and I think maybe from my standpoint, rightfully so, talking ourselves out of trying to be aggressive and just make it happen in September.
I just think August, people are the back to school, ending their vacations. You do it in September. I mean, it's a lot of families are getting their kids in school. They got activities, and I just think it's just really pushing it.
And a lot of folks who are...
Sports start.
Sports start, and so it's like, yeah, there's...
Just...
Yeah, and for folks who don't have children at home, oftentimes they take vacations in September.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'll speak for myself as being one of those.
Yeah.
September, early August is a good time weather-wise to go a lot of places. So again, it was, okay, so what do we need to identify as a game plan now going forward from our discussion? Are we going to, what more needs to be discussed? We don't need to, this is not an item that needs a motion or anything, is it? We're just wanting to see if we reach a consensus on how we're moving forward, the time frame.
Or maybe talk to the state to see what they have available for information to mail out to people, or find out what's worked best for other communities.
Mm-hmm.
And dates that will work for them, and then we can start putting that same date or whatever they come up with together.
Yeah. So, like a template of things that have worked well for other cities,
mm-hmm.
and villages, and dates that key people in their organizations can come.
Right.
And then maybe a starting or, you know, a potential meeting time that we just, maybe we don't have to decide, well, if it's going to be, is it going to be November 18th or December 19th or January 9th or whatever, but we should probably know what month we're starting in.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if we do maybe we could pick a date. Maybe we should. What does everybody think about thinking that far ahead?
The Highway 57 project goes through all three districts, and that might do it this year.
I'm sorry, I couldn't.
The Highway 57 project goes through all three districts.
Yeah.
They just did another intensive. Section 106 is a study of the historic areas, and all three districts are impacted by the Highway 57, so you might want to do it this year. So those people have some input into the Highway 57 project.
And as the Highway 57 project progresses, more information will come to light in terms of what the plan is going to kind of start to look like, maybe.
Well, they'd like to have it finished up by the end of the year.
Yeah.
They want to be done.
Yeah.
They want to finish.
Yeah. So should we try and do something in December and send a note, you know, collect information like we were talking about and pick a date and send a save the date card?
Early in December, maybe not too close to the holidays.
Yeah. Yeah, because then people, it's always an excuse, well, it's the office party,
mm-hmm.
or it's whatever. First week of December.
Because we probably won't have the fourth Wednesday in November meeting, right? That this usually ends up being the night before Thanksgiving. So I think we've canceled that one in the past.
So we could just have that meeting take place during the first week of December.
Mm-hmm.
Then the first, I don't have my calendar with me, so I don't know what the first Wednesday, doesn't have to be a Wednesday, but that's a date that's mm-hmm. associated with our meeting, so.
Trevor, do you know availability of this room? What is there anything going on the first Wednesday of the month?
December 3rd.
December 3rd.
I don't believe there's a meeting on Wednesday evenings.
Okay.
Throughout the month. I'll definitely look into that. First Wednesday of December would be the 3rd.
And again, what are we going to do at that meeting? Just for to remind me, we're going to have a public hearing.
Yeah, with people with representatives from the state.
With representatives from the state.
Answer questions.
Is it more of an open house, more so than a public
hearing?
Maybe
we should call it an open house. Maybe.
True.
It's not because we don't have a proposal
formal
for something
action.
That people need to speak on for or against.
Right.
You know, it's an informational meeting, so it's an open house, and we have time now to draft something, and maybe that your contact from the state will provide some some phrases that are commonly used to describe what we want to do.
I can contact him. Would you like me to contact him?
Yeah, I think if you could, that would be... Okay. Sorry for passing everything off, but I don't know all these folks yet.
I'll copy you on all the correspondence that
you
learned.
Yeah, that way I'll get the next round. Yeah. Okay.
There's no meeting December 3rd on the hourly
website. There are no meetings? Not yet, anyway.
And now if the state wasn't open on the 3rd, how does the 4th look? Could that be an alternate date, Bobby, or is it good as open? Okay. Unless anybody has a problem with that, I'll throw both those days out.
No.
Just so there's an option. Okay. And hopefully no snowstorm.
Yeah. Do we need to set a date by which we'll be sending out the notices and information? Or I guess that'll just follow logically after we learn a few more things, and we have plenty of time. We don't want to send it off too far in advance for people lose their calendars.
Maybe mid-November. So
yeah.
You don't want it
too
close to Christmas. Otherwise, it'll get mixed up with the Christmas cards.
Yeah. 3 or 4 weeks is
okay.
Good. That way, otherwise people decide, I got something else I'd rather do then. Okay. So we have a few items to work with now for the next couple meetings in preparation for that, sending that notice out and being ready for our open house. Anybody have anything else that we're not thinking about that we should, or any other suggestions? Okay. I guess we're ready to move on to item number 8, review of the raising ordinance amendment. And Trevor has given us something in our packet relating to that. So in this item, we actually are going to, this calls for a motion, is we're going to submit a recommendation, either what Trevor gave us or a modification thereof, I guess, to the village board for approval. So.
Has it been read? I have no idea what you're talking about. It's not a public record yet. It would be helpful if this was posted.
It's our committee's agenda item to discuss that. Now, yeah. So, Trevor, do you have anything to start us off with? I mean, you put together something for us, which is helpful.
And I kind of put this together based off of the discussion we had at the May meeting. I used that discussion, things I found on the Wisconsin Historical Society's website, as well as the peers' ordinance. There's a few questions I had for you guys. In the first line, the Wisconsin Historical Society kind of had this in there as their example ordinance, 500 total square feet. Larger. I don't know if that's something you guys want to include. If you didn't have that, you didn't have that prior. Then moving down to the next comment on there, I looked into the guard tower. That was only a resolution, I guess, so just thinking making it easy to identify which buildings are locally designated. Maybe come up with a list and post that somewhere.
The guardhouse. At 30 the guard tower.
You know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but if you need to speak, then we need to have you come up to the microphone so we can hear you. And we need, first of all, to decide that we're going to suspend the rules to allow that. So I'll let you decide if you want to do that or not. But otherwise, we need to keep moving.
Can we suspend the rule, please?
Pardon?
Can we suspend the rule?
I'll ask the committee if they want to, if they're in agreement that we can suspend the rules for the gentleman to speak. Any objections? Nope.
Jim Ogar, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. This is the first time I've seen this proposed amendment. But it says in here, it talks about the guard tower, which would reference the prison, the reformatory, and they're the only ones with guard towers. So I think what you're really meaning is the guard house at Heritage Hill, and that's a very significant difference. So we make sure that we're using the correct vocabulary when we're discussing these things. Thank you.
Thanks. Trevor, are you okay with that?
Well, it isn't part of the ordinance. I think he just had a question.
Oh, that's
a
question.
Use that for an example.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, we can agree that maybe it should be guardhouse instead of guard tower then.
I was just trying to look back at the guardhouse information. Once we locally designate it, does that get registered with the property at all? Don't it property listers? That's how somebody would know that their building is locally designated?
It is placed on the register of deeds.
Okay. So there is notification.
I have a question about using local throughout this. Does that mean everything that's state or national designated has to be locally designated as well in order to be protected? Which I don't know that we want.
That would be the case as far as how this reads here.
If a nationally registered property wanted to raise it, do they have to go through a separate process at the national level to get permission to do that? So would that be like a separate process from what we have? I don't know.
They don't have to get approval to do anything unless they're using tax credits at the state or national level.
So they could raise a building without getting anybody's approval, is what you're saying with this ordinance?
No, this is saying we'd have to locally designate everything that's on the state or
in order to protect it.
In order to protect it.
Okay. So we should change the wording to local, state,
it is
national.
Are you saying an or? Local, state, or national?
Yeah.
Designation?
So we could locally designate, but
because there's properties we could locally designate that are not state or national.
Right, yeah, I guess.
Like the guardhouse.
If it appears on any of those three categories, we would have to.
Because this is only saying local.
Right.
Well, you don't really have any jurisdiction on those. On the national registry, such as that house, I mean, the state-owned buildings have their own guidelines they have to follow, but like that house on Taft, if they wanted to come and put purple doors on it, because we don't have that locally designated, they don't need to come in for a certificate of appropriateness from us. So if they can make changes to their building without having to get approval, would we feel the same way about having it raised?
Maybe a governing group instead of an advisory.
But we, when something's been locally designated, then they need to come to us for that certificate of appropriateness, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But are you saying then if they wouldn't, you would want them to come to us if they wanted to raise it, but if they wanted to make any changes to it, we'd be okay with it? Is it a little bit of both?
I'm just saying the only place that would be protected right now would be the guardhouse under this writing.
And if we, once we get a historic district.
Not even really protected, but at least we've got something to work with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it needs to be more expansive than that.
But then how does the property get flagged? Because individual property owners could go ahead and register themselves without us even knowing it. And who monitors that to flag it in our database? Our builder inspector database, whatever that person references, to know if it's designated or not.
Now that we have a historic preservation committee, would the state send us something for our records to let us know now?
I don't know.
In the past, you're right, there wasn't any way of knowing. But now that we're the certified local government, you'd hope they would tell us.
Well, I don't think we can count on that.
Is there a way to request that they tell us that we can count on being effective, or is it just something that we can't really control?
Do other municipalities handle that? I think Pierre and Green Bay both have an ordinance. I'm sure they must have a process in place for identifying those structures as well.
Well, I'm sure they flag it in their database, but how do we know to flag it if we weren't involved to begin with? That's my...
When I ask Joe about the meeting date, I can also ask him about this and see if there is a process now, if they let us know if somebody applies or is granted approval for the registry. Should I do that? I'll just send one big email.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you would hope they would send it. No, there were.
But if we have to decide on it tonight, I would vote for the or statement. Local, state, or national.
Yeah, we can
but
hold
I don't
off.
Know how we'd flag that if we weren't involved. We'd have to monitor it, what, weekly?
Yeah, that's not really
the right. Database. No. The state database.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something the building inspector could check on when he gets the permit to rent the building?
Probably only if we write it in your ordinance, like a procedure.
I think we want to make sure we're not putting another layer of work on somebody, because either they're going to do it and not like it or not do a good job, or maybe they won't do it, or maybe there'll be pushback. Is this something we need to decide on tonight, a final version? How do we feel? Are there open items that we need to have further information on before we... So we do this once and it's the way we want it, or can we do it? And
right. I think we should have a few loose ends. And
kind of what I'm hearing.
Maybe we can go through and answer the questions down here if we have any thoughts about those.
Yeah, and then we'll have a list of loose ends.
The first note, 500 total square feet. Does anyone know what the chapel is? Is that 500?
Was that 20 by... 20 by 24?
I'd be in favor of striking that part of it.
Then we're getting into like garages and sheds, and so I can see why it's there. I'm just worried about the chapel.
Yeah.
Well, they should. I mean, that's if it's less than that, then you don't need a permit from the building inspector. That should probably be taken off, because even if it's a detached garage, that needs to get to the assessor to be taken off the tax roll, and they go through the permits. So I don't, you're right, maybe there shouldn't be any size to requiring a permit.
Is the chapel protected? Is there anything special about the chapel? I felt that they state that there's nothing special about the chapel.
That's right, it's not individually eligible.
There's nothing special about the chapel, which is kind of odd.
Right.
But that's one we could locally do.
Right, we could potentially make it locally.
It states that there's no value.
But if we take that size off, we should take that size off, probably. And the building inspector would probably tell you that any building should have a permit to be raised,
right?
Regardless of the size.
You shouldn't be able to raise your garage without having a permit.
Right.
Yeah. So. So it looks like we're kind of in agreement, or we are not, that the total square footage phrase there can come off.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Okay.
So we can. So even a shed, they gotta come and get a raising.
Well, you're. It's if you take
I'm
out
just
a permit,
the building assessor's gonna be.
But if you take out a permit for a shed, if you build a shed, you have to take out a permit. So then the assessor takes it and puts it on your taxes.
Okay.
So the only way to get it taken off is a raising permit. So it's your benefit to take out a raising permit.
Mm. Otherwise, the village doesn't know that you don't have it anymore.
And you'll still pay taxes on it,
so
right?
And you're,
All right.
So I guess that might be the control mechanism there that would work. What other questions or things do we need to discuss or put on our list to follow up on? Where do we end up with the discussion on making it village or state or federal? Did we decide that that was a change?
What does De Pere have in theirs, Trevor? Do we have a copy of that? Or do they get so specific?
Honestly, I don't know offhand. I can look real quick. The reason why I kind of put locally designated was because you know, kind of forces you guys to designate national and state properties, and that kind of builds up your reputation in the community as having, some sort of, I can't remember the word, but your knowledge is kind of up there. You know what we're kind of looking for?
We're engaged in the process and we're involved in doing something.
So then later on when we go to designate other local buildings that have more local historical significance that aren't listed on the state or national name, when your authority or your word kind of means more. That's kind of what I think I was talking to Jennifer or Joe about this.
That changes the makeup of our board then, too, to a governing board versus a committee.
It would still just be advisory in the ordinance, but what you guys are seeing would have more
bearing?
Credibility.
I understand that part, but I know I think we've always talked about working with the property owners before, local designation, and I guess I feel like if somebody who's currently on that national or state registry doesn't want to be locally designated, we may grant that wish.
Well, they wouldn't have got to that list if they weren't. Although if it's a new owner.
Right, but at the same time, we may want to look at options before we allow them to RAS their structure, even if they're not locally designated, and through that avenue.
Is there an advantage to a homeowner for local designation?
I'm sorry, I couldn't.
Is there an advantage to a homeowner to be locally designated if they're already on the federal register or in the federal district?
There must be, otherwise Heritage Hill wouldn't come to us.
Well, that gives you, Heritage Hill came because they wanted to take access to the building code, the historic building code, so that they didn't have to comply with ADA and all the other requirements, with my understanding. So they had specific reasons for becoming designated for the building code access.
Unless things have changed in the last year. I know I asked Mary Jane about local designation, and they said they don't have any locally designated.
In De Pere?
Yes, that they only had they pushed for the national.
And they are a governing board, aren't they?
But they're a commission. I think so. Well, I'm looking at the minutes from the May meeting, and it looks like we asked Trevor to draft the amendment that would take the important features from the DePere ordinance and incorporate those into our ordinance. So is this primarily a DePere ordinance with just village put in instead of city, or do you remember?
To make sure the DePere and what they start from start the studies with age.
It's a mix of both.
Correct. Looking through the DePere's ordinance, it says the building or structure of such architectural or historical significance that its demolition would be detrimental to the public interest and contrary to the general welfare. The city or state, I can't see anything more specific than that.
Should we send this ordinance to the state to see if we're missing anything or if they have any input mm-hmm. on it?
Okay. Yeah, because we wouldn't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize our CLG status
right.
either.
Okay.
So having decided to do that, you're suggesting that we send this to the state.
I am. For input.
Yeah, for input. So do we need to do anything else with it tonight?
Were we supposed to take action?
Well, if we're ready.
Well, I mean, if otherwise I would table it.
Yeah, I think.
Motion to table.
Yeah.
What is review?
Yeah, Trevor's saying ask to review proposed amendment, recommend a proposed amendment to be adopted by the village board, and we're not ready to do that. So, we'll, are we ready to have a tabling motion now, or do we want to go through? Do we have more questions that we want to get out? In the only question I had was about, or one question was about in the middle of. Paragraph B, Historic Preservation Committee shall notify the petitioner of any potential buyers and or rehabilitation funds for the questioned building. And if the Historic Preservation Committee cannot find a suitable buyer or funds for rehabilitation within 60 days, so on and so forth, are we...
Can we add that we'd be allowed to get inside the structure and document it? That the homeowner or the property owner would let us do that? We can at least get pictures of it.
We can ask.
I don't know if that needs to be in an ordinance or not.
I remember seeing language like that somewhere, but I don't really know where I saw that.
Where does it...
Because if we can't save it, we want to at least document it.
Yeah,
right. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's
but do we have to... have that in an ordinance to have that right to do?
I would say, my guess would be yes.
Yes, too.
Do we have a right to salvage anything before they...
Oh, that would be nice.
Right.
Yeah, but isn't there like a legal problem with that? I mean,
it's been, yeah.
You know,
yes,
I don't know.
Eventually, I mean, it's still their property.
Yeah.
Even with the right to go in there, take pictures and document, I don't know legally if you could do that.
And how would more of a permission-based thing.
Yeah.
And how would
we can photograph the outside from the street, but that's about
it. Right, because I don't, yeah, I, you know, you would have to talk to an attorney about that if
yeah.
it, you know, it's almost like you're pushing the boundary there a little bit.
To do anything other than take a picture of the external, of the property from the outside, you know, the exterior. So that's something we want to pursue in terms of another question to kind of get clarified, you know, should we and you know, can we and how would we then ask permission to actually document what the structure looks like on the interior? Because again, we can't control it. If they want to raise it, they're going to raise it, maybe.
Right.
But we could at least have a document. We could have a document that says, here's what it looked like. And I know in my past life in city or village government, there have been a lot of buildings that just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you know, maybe there was a photograph from 1925 but not one from 1987.
Right, exactly. You know,
the day before it was you know,
disappeared.
Before it disappeared, yeah.
See a wrecking ball.
Yeah,
time.
Yeah.
And then there is the statement in here that we have the 60 days, during which time the Historic Preservation Committee will attempt to find a buyer or funding for rehabilitation. Would we put ads in the paper, or how would we even do that? How would we?
Get our Brown County Trust involved,
okay.
The other board that I'm on.
They would be able to help us.
We've
with that?
We've got an ad hoc team.
Okay.
Not ad hoc, a response team.
Okay.
Put together.
Good, because I was picturing us kind of being real estate agents here when we're not really. Not really.
Where we would find funds for rehabilitation.
Yeah, yeah. Where's that going to happen? How's it going to happen in 60 days?
I know who to go to.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to know people. Yeah.
Good.
Good. So, does anybody have any other questions that we want to raise to get in the minutes that relate to our interests, concerns, or whatever before we decide, before we take a motion to. The table.
Would this amount pertain to raising the monkey cold gate?
I'm sorry.
Would this ordinance apply to state-owned property like the raising the monkey cold estate gate?
Well, if it isn't locally designated or on the state or national registry, then it wouldn't apply, right? At this time, that's kind of what we're looking at.
Correct.
Literally,
yeah.
That's,
yeah.
It has to be designated in some form or
another. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that. That's not, unfortunately, for some, the way some people see it. Yeah.
Okay, so when I contact Joe DeRose, I'll ask him if the village is notified when buildings are added to the state or national register, in the event that somebody's pursuing that on their own and they don't go through us. I'll ask him if there would be some language that we could add that the village would be allowed to view the building to document it before demolition, something if we could add that, and then I'll send him the ordinance to review. Is there anything else specific to this that I should ask him? Or were those our main questions?
Did you have the local, state, or national?
Okay.
Right, what his opinion
right.
on that?
What's his opinion?
Okay.
Or does he think we should locally designate everything that's on state or national?
Okay.
And then we just have to figure out how to find all that information.
Okay.
That might be the easiest approach, just like a blanket.
And I fear we get into more.
Maybe.
I think at one time we'd ask.
Right, exactly. I don't want to.
We, you know, we said, we, especially starting out, we definitely wanted to work with
mm-hmm.
every property owner. But at the same time, I don't know that we would be okay with them just raising the building.
Yeah.
Even if we agreed to not put them on a local.
Yeah.
I know when we first started, we had asked him whether we should be pushing the local designation issue and pursue the people that already have the national, they're on the national register, to see if we could get them locally designated. And he kind of said, let them come to you, not that we would push it.
Right.
Do you remember that? Okay.
And I still prefer that approach.
Okay.
At the same time, if one of those people decided they wanted to destroy their structure tomorrow, I don't know that we should, as a group, be okay with that. Just up front, review the options.
Well, any one of those three designations would need a owner approval to get on that list to begin with.
Right.
Owner buy-in, I think is how we're saying it. Remember he had us change our form a little bit? That the owner didn't have to approve it, but we could take that into consideration whether when we locally designated it.
Whether the owner was in favor.
Right, if a group of people said that they didn't want you to do anything to your house and it's your house that, and they wanted to locally designate it, they could apply for that, but there's a check mark on our form, or the owner can let us know if they're in agreement with that, and we can't let them opt out, but we can take their feelings into consideration in whether we...
Part of the decision,
on.
Information
yes.
for the decision-making process.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was part of the last form change?
Yes.
Anything else?
That covers everything then, right?
Mm-hmm.
For,
okay. I think so.
Motion to table. Pending the findings of fire.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries. Actually, I don't think we can have any discussion on the table of the motion. Is that right? Doesn't matter.
We're going up.
New business, which happens to be the next meeting date, August 27th. Is that the standard fourth Wednesday?
I think it is. Yep.
Do we have any proposed agenda items tonight?
Well, hopefully I'll have that raising ordinance information back. And then I'll have some information, hopefully from Joe, about having those the open house meeting. And then I suppose we'll have an update on the grant, maybe, on the project.
I don't think there would be anything to update until...
Well, maybe that she's working on it?
Yeah, maybe the update is
I'm
yep,
out of
yep.
My hands, so.
Okay.
I was working on it yesterday.
Okay.
Maybe that's all it is. Well, in case, but it's probably good to bring it up every time. I mean, what if something happened? What if something happened that we should be aware of? We don't know what that might be. It's good to keep it on the agenda, I think, even if it's to say no change.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have some good items then. Those are things that will take an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Nobody's ever opposed to adjournment.
No.
Thank you.